It is imperative, and I'm saying this very sincerely, that you listen to everything I'm going to share with you, especially seven major points as we get into this message. Now, everybody out there that's listening to me, if you are a Christian and you maybe attend church and you love the Lord and all those things combined, all of us know how to pray. The problem seems to be the answers. It's not praying. We pray all the time. People go through ritualistic prayer. They go through breakfast, dinner, lunch, you know, asking God to bless the food. But the situation seems to be that there is an answer shortage. And we're going to answer the answer shortage right now. Now, let me talk to you for a minute about my dad. Now, my dad, his name was Perry Fred Stone, and I'm named after him. I'm actually Perry Fred Stone, Jr. And when my dad was 17 years of age, he was converted to the Lord in what's called the Great Coalfield Revival. That revival, which took place in MacDowell County, West Virginia, went on in different churches every night for 3.5 years. Now, some people would criticize what I'm about to say here because they don't believe that women should teach or preach behind the pulpit. That revival was led for 3.5 years by Mildred Collins, who was a lady minister. And there were 70 young men that were converted in that 3.5 years that were called to preach the gospel. And my father was one of them. So thank God for the handmaidens of the Lord and those who teach the word of God and are obedient to God, because those 70 men may have never been saved, which would have included my father. Now, having said that, at age 17, Dad had a friend by the name of Al Collins. And Al Collins felt like he was called into the ministry, but he later passed away with a brain tumor. And that was something that Dad struggled with for some time. Al Collins had a friend, Al and Dad both. Chester Hearst, Lloyd Adair, my dad, and Al Collins were four. They were the four musketeers. They prayed all the time. They sought the Lord consistently with fasting. They had a little cabin. When I say little, it was about as it was little, okay? Hardly held two people, with a table, a chair, a lantern, and they would go up there and fast for several days at a time and pray. So what I'm trying to say to you is simply this, that their prayer life was so intent. On one night, for example, Al was there, and there were some saints of God that were in this little church in Flat Top, West Virginia. And Dad was praying. He started praying about before church. He wasn't praying aloud, it was disturbing people, but he kept praying. And someone said, don't bother Brother Freddie. That's what they called my dad, Freddie. Said, he's in the spirit right now. And my dad prayed for about 5 hours nonstop and got so caught up in the spirit. He actually saw about 4 hours into the prayer, the edge of the city, New Jerusalem, sang a song to the lamb and the bride. So he had these experiences, is what I'm trying to tell you. Now, here's something I want to tell you. My dad had this tremendous results with healing. He read a lot of books on healing, praying for the sick. He, in the time he traveled with me, we know of about 16 incidents where people had cancer. And when he prayed the prayer of faith over them and asked God to do a miracle in their life, the person was healed. I don't have time to share all of those, but I still meet people today whose children or they were healed under Dad's ministry. I will share something else with you. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10, we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not the gifts of the apostles and did not die with the apostles and did not come to help get the early church started. These gifts, except tongues and interpretation, are found in the Old Testament, and they continue in the New Testament, and they continue all the way through today. My dad had operated in all 9 gifts of the Spirit at some point in his life. How do I know? I saw it with my own eyes. He had visions. He had warning dreams. He actually had what the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. I had an uncle with a third grade education. And people in West Virginia that are older, they'll verify this. There's Baptist folks up in the mountains that can verify this. Rufus Dumford could speak seven languages in the Holy Spirit, had a third-grade education, and when God healed him of a brain tumor in 1933, he gave him the gift of divers tongues, and he would go up to people from other nations. You can believe it. You don't believe it if you don't want to, but I know for a fact it happened, and he could speak to them in their language and witness to them from the Bible. And so I don't want to get into all that because that's a beautiful story. So my point is that one of the secrets of Rufus and Dad and Lloyd and Chester was praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying in what we call the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. The Bible would call it, in the King James translation, praying in other tongues, or praying in a tongue that you don't understand it, but the Spirit of God understands it. And 1 Corinthians 14 says you're praying out of your spirit. Your spirit is praying. The verse that they love to quote with this was Jude 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. They knew by praying in the Spirit that it kept their faith sharpened and their faith alive. Well, my dad taught me that there were seven, well, I say taught me by example and by me watching him, that there are seven different things that he would do when he prayed. And I'm going to go through these seven things with you. Number one, I never saw my dad pray where he, and I'm talking about not in a church service where he was behind the pulpit, but in private, I never saw him pray where he did not kneel down. If he was in a hotel room, he would take a chair and kneel down near the table where his notes were, or sometimes he would just kneel beside the bed. So he always knelt down. Now, I'm the kind of person, I would like to lay on my back or lay on my face and with my Bible, and that's how I like to pray. Or walk around. I like to walk around and pray. I asked Dad one time, I said, why do you pray kneeling down? And he quoted Psalms 95 and verse 6, Ephesians 3 and 14, where it says that we will kneel before the God, our Maker, and we bow our knee before the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I do it, son, because it's biblical. And he always prayed, honoring God, praying on his knees. The second thing Dad did, he always opened his prayer. The moment he was on his knees, he would open his prayer with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And of course, the Lord's Prayer is alluded to in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Jesus said, after this manner you should pray. So I asked him one time, Dad, I've noticed you always pray the Lord's Prayer. Why do you do it? He said, because it's Bible, son. And Jesus said, we should pray after this manner and after this pattern. So I always introduce my prayers that are going to be coming out of my mouth and my heart with the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm telling you, this was his routine. Literally, every time he prayed, he knelt. Every time he prayed, he opened up with the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times at the Thursday World Prayer that we have in Cleveland, Tennessee, the folks that lead that prayer meeting will always, many times, open up with the Lord's Prayer as well. Number three, and this is very important you understand this, because I mentioned a moment ago, Jude verse 20. My dad would pray with his understanding, which would be the English language. He spoke the English language. He had actually a 10th grade education, never did go to Bible school, but he could preach like a scholar and preach with the unction and the anointing of God, as the Bible calls it. But Dad would always begin to pray with his understanding. And when he prayed, what always amazed me is he sounded like he was talking to a king. Blessed God Most High, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I come before thee in the name of the Holy Child and your son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, he would go into this just, it was, I can't explain it. It was like approaching a dignitary, because to him, he was approaching the king. Now, as he would pray with his understanding, he would pause it a few moments, then I would hear him praying in the Spirit, praying in that prayer language of the Spirit, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can show us things to come. Well, how does he do that? He has to do that somehow when we're praying, or through a vision or a dream or whatever. So I always noticed that Dad would pray in the Spirit. Now, the amazing thing to me was he always, after he would pray in the Spirit, could tell you what he had prayed. Now, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you also ask the Lord to pray that you might interpret, which means that you might get the understanding in your spirit and mind of what you prayed for. Now, he would say, "Brother, I'm praying for Philip. I feel a real burden for Philip right now." So he knew that the Holy Spirit was interceding for my brother. There were other times that I would be planning on taking a trip and he would be burdened. One time I was taking a trip flying back and he got under a heavy burden and started praying. And I lost an engine on a plane. When I say lost an engine, the starter adapter broke off in a twin engine 421. And we lost that whole right engine. Thank God we were able to land the plane with a good pilot in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So our life was spared. Something terrible could have happened, but he felt the burden. And as he prayed in the spirit, God gave him the understanding. Same thing happened to, at the same time frame, same incident, the same thing happened to our head prayer lady, who's now with the Lord, B. Ogle, the head of our Daughters of Rachel. And B was praying, and at 11 o'clock, the Lord said, "Perry's in trouble." And she began to pray in the prayer language of the Spirit. Now, why do we do that? Why don't we just pray in English? Because she didn't know what I was in trouble about. She didn't know where the trouble was coming from. So the Bible in Romans 8 says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And some translations put that with unarticulate speech, or Jude would say, by praying in the Spirit. And so as she prayed away what she felt was danger. And it could have been serious danger, but God kept us alive. And there's many other incidents I could share with you. So that was the third thing he did. The fourth thing he did, and he based this again on, it's in the Bible, son, Matthew 26 and verse 40, when Dad would go into private prayer, it was never 5 or 10 minutes. He never prayed less than 1 hour. And he would say, he would come to my office. I can still see him with that white hair. He's very thin. And he walked with a cane to balance himself. And he would lift up his left hand. He'd say, "Brother, do you want to have a word of prayer?" "Well, I'm writing a book or working on messages. And I'm very funny about, don't distract me when I'm in the flow of that." And I'd say, "Yes, Dad, we'll pray." But I knew it wasn't going to be a word of prayer. It would be 60 minutes of prayer. And he would literally, it's like he had an internal clock. He didn't look at his watch. He just knew he prayed 55 minutes, 60 minutes, sometimes a little over. But he based that on Jesus saying to his disciples, "Could you not tarry with me for 1 hour?" Now, let's go over these again. He always knelt, prayed the Lord's Prayer at the opening, pray in English, and then would allow the Holy Spirit, when he felt led, to pray through him and give him the understanding, and always prayed for 1 hour. Now, these are, how do you think? Dad saw 16 people that I know of traveling with me healed of cancer. How do you think that happened? It happened because of the process of what I'm telling you. I'm not talking about just going through a ritual, going through a pattern. He had a prayer process that built his faith and stirred up the gifts. And it, in other words, he kept the gifts stirred. Paul said to Timothy, "Stir up the gift that's in you, which was given to you by the laying on of hands." All right, let's go through this. Number five, he would allow the Spirit of God to quicken him. Now, that word quicken means to make alive. I would see my dad sometimes when he would pray. Let me give an example. He would lay hands on people when he would pray for them, especially those that asked for prayer for their body or their mind or spirit. And my dad was left-handed. And many times when his hand would be, would be upon the person, the Spirit of God would move him. He would just, you'd see this happen like that. And that's what we would call in the old days a quickening of the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes I watched one time he was praying for a woman. He felt she had a spirit of sickness. By the way, she was healed after the prayer. And when Dad prayed, his left hand jerked like this away from that, was like this. I can't even do it because it'll hurt my arm. And I said, "Dad, what has happened?" He said, "Son, this is what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit is getting a hold of that infirm spirit and removing it from that woman through the prayer." And he said, "I just think that I have a response. I sense a physical response when he does that." Now, these are some of the prayer secrets. And I know for a lot of you watching me, because we have a lot of Catholics up in the Northeast. We have Episcopalians, we have Methodists, we have a ton of Baptists. I think the Baptists are my number one audience. So if this is new to you, I challenge you. I know that there's different traditions and different theologies that churches have, but I just want to challenge you to look at what I'm saying, and we're backing this by the Word. And the biggest thing is The proof is in the fruit. The proof is in the answer to prayer. That's what you got to keep in mind. And a lot of times churches have their traditions, and I believe this or we don't believe that. Okay, fine. But you better not fall into unbelief toward the things of the Holy Spirit, because you could vex or grieve him. We don't want that to happen to you. All right. Number six, Psalms 46 and 10, there's a still small voice of God. Now, for us as spirit-filled believers, that still small voice is in our spirit. It's our inner spirit. If you were to leave your body, you can hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. Your body's there. Your voice box, vocal cord, larynx is there. Your eyeballs are there. Your ears are there. And they take you to the morgue and they embalm you and put you in a coffin. However, your soul and spirit has all five senses after it comes out of the body. So when you talk about being still to hear the voice of God, we have these ears, but we have ears of our spirit. And that's how Dad believed that you could sharpen or train the ears of your spirit to hear the things of God. And then number seven, and this is so important, he would also take authority. If he was going to preach at night, he would take authority over any hindrance that the enemy would try to bring into that service, whether it was through a person, whether it's through some spirit that was controlling someone, and that God would release his anointing. Now, this is a precious family that I'm about to talk about, and we are still friends with the family, but there was a situation in the church where Dad pastored where someone, it was a woman, for whatever reason, he's telling the church some information, and this woman stood up and rebuked my dad and called him a liar. Well, boy, my dad, the one thing that he was not is a liar. And Dad pointed his finger and said, "Sister, I want to tell you something. When I got saved at age 17, I haven't told a lie since." And she started railing on him, and his left hand shot out, and he felt the power of God. And the next day, the woman could not talk at all. And she couldn't talk for weeks. They did studies. They couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And after a period of time, the Lord spoke to my dad and said, "Her children need her. If you'll call her up, don't tell everybody over the mic what you're doing, but tell her that her children need her, and he's going to pray, and him and mom forgive her for belittling them and saying that publicly to the church, and God would heal him." And God did heal that woman. She later passed away. But that's an example of Dad praying and operating with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word anoint comes from the word charisma, charismatic, charisma, and it's the gift of God's favor. It's an unction from the Holy Spirit. So I'm sorry, the word gift comes from the word charisma. And anointing, excuse me, in the New Testament Greek means the unction, and to anoint is to smear on, cutters, to smear on, like smearing on oil or putting oil on someone. And that's a whole nother message. So here's some facts that I want you to know. Number one, you have to set aside time to pray. Jesus prayed at the fourth watch, which is 3 to 6 in the morning. And if you're an early riser, it's good. You know, when I'm shaving, I'm praying. When I'm in the shower, I'm praying. When I'm changing clothes, I'm praying. In the morning, you can do that. Pray without ceasing, you know. And but I have my mind on the Lord while I'm doing those things. Number two, when you really get into the spirit of prayer, you have to remove distractions. For example, when I'm praying upstairs, I usually try to pray every day at some point, but I'll take my phone and put it on silent where I'm not going to get a phone call. I'm not going to get a text message, because that will be your biggest distraction. Then I have a laptop, which I'll go to social media, and I will either put on some music or something of that nature, or just sounds. Sometimes I love nature sounds, like I'm praying outside, though I'm not. So, but get distractions out of the way. And number three, you have to have times when you move from just the normal prayer, "Father, just want to thank you," to you get into the spirit of prayer. Now, if you ever get into the spirit of prayer where you sense the presence of God and you sense a beautiful, a motivational flow, an inspirational flow, try not to pull yourself out of that quickly. Try to stay in that flow, because there is a reason. And the other thing I share with you from Dad is to pray your prayer burdens. He always taught me that if you're burdened, try to get away, try to stop what you're doing and pray until you feel the burden lift. And I've done that on so many occasions, I cannot even tell you. Now, this is what my dad taught me. So when I was 16 years of age, myself and three other young men, would get together. See, that had a total of four with him. I had a total of four with me. There was four of us. I thought about that. That's interesting. And we would go to dad's church, or we'd go to someone's home, and we would literally pray for hours at a time. And so when I would go to a local church, and I'm just telling you this, in my earlier revivals, actually during my revivals, they start breaking out, going a week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 11 weeks, 6 weeks. They started going that way every single night. Here's why. Because the presence of the Lord was there. People were being saved, converted to the Lord, filled with the Spirit. We had some extraordinary miracles happening. And I was a kid. I wasn't even married at the time when some of these great revivals were breaking out. Then I married Pam. We traveled, had an 11-week revival in one church. Can you believe that? Every night, except one night it snowed. We couldn't have it for 11 weeks, La Follette, Tennessee. And the secret for me personally was, Pam knows this, that I would literally study all day during the day. We would go out and eat lunch and come back. And then I would pray for hours. Sometimes I'd go to the church and spend several hours. It works. Someone says, well, you don't have to talk to God that long. No, but you get to. What a privilege. Why? Because you're in His presence. And when you're in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And when you're in His presence, you don't want to leave. That's what prayer's about, getting into God's presence. So I hope this has helped you. And I have the man. Listen, when we share with you on Manifest, you have to understand some of the offer that you get. If a lot of you get our offer, whatever it might be, that's what helps keep Manifest on the air. We get almost zero income from all of our overseas programs. And so the United States people in America help us pay for Russia, Ukraine, Romania, where millions, tens of millions are being reached. So remember that when you have a donation or when you have an order that we're going to share with you that you can get. The world's premier prophetic voices were all in one location for an end-time prophetic summit. The 2026 conference messages are now available, unedited, on DVDs, CDs, MP3 audio, and on digital download. 7 speakers, 14 messages in 3.5 days. Attendees call this a Bible school in a vinyl case. Here are the message titles. Jonathan Kahn preached on war harbingers in Persia and gave us an update on America's demonic battle. Rick Renner preached 3 messages, powerful Greek word studies concerning your personal spiritual warfare, breaking down the details of second coming signs, the rapture and the revealing of the restrainer. And then this great message called The Mystery of the Holy Spirit from the original Greek New Testament. Joseph Z, How to Keep Revelatory Movements Alive in the Earth and Mastering Your Prophetic Experiences. Bill did one of the greatest messages I ever heard. It's called The Mingling of the Iron and Clay Has Begun. Dr. Brian Cutshaw came in with the fire and anointing of God and preached today's battle for Holy Grail, the final Ishmael and Isaac clash. Jeremiah Johnson taught a word called The 5 Satanic Strategies Before You Birth a Breakthrough. My 5 messages were the Iranian Revolution and the aligning of the last coalitions. Then I preached when God sends a warning to you through your pets and animals. The 3rd message was called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. The next message was how, when, and why the earth and heavens will melt with fire. And the final message I preached was Prince Spirits and Archangels, the battle for the fulfillment of the prophecies. The 14 audio CDs are $65 a set. The 14 DVDs are $95 a set. And you can also get the USB flash drive for $65, and you can look into getting digital downloads. There is an offer number for each one of these. It is important to get the right offer number when you're ordering, whether it be CD, DVD, or whatever the case may be. Now, you can order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD, or if you'd like to mail a check for the amount and also put what you're ordering with the offer number, you can go to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and remember, put the offer number in there as well. You need to get started in your personal study. This was the greatest prophetic summit or conference I've ever been in, and I want you to hear everything that was said. God bless you. I hope that you watch this very carefully and listen to it very carefully, because this was a very important message. I love preaching prophecy. I love preaching the deep things of God, the Hebraic roots of Christianity, all these things you've heard me preach over the years. But sometimes we need to understand prayer, answered prayer, spiritual warfare, and so many other subjects. So please order, if you can, the prophetic summit that is being made available right now. Now, we only do this for a set period of time, and then eventually we will move on to another offer. I also want to make you aware of our Legacy Club. It is just going like gangbusters. That's the only word I can think of right now. People are loving this, and I want you to check that out again at perrystone.org. Do not forget to register for our 50th anniversary homecoming, which is coming up in the month of October. Get a room booked somewhere in the area. We also have rooms not just in Cleveland, but there's rooms down in Ottawa. There are rooms, hotel rooms, I should say, up the road. And all that information is available on our website, or you can look it up yourself, whatever you choose to do. Also, I want to make you aware that we do have meetings that we travel to where we minister in person, and we would love to have you join us if you possibly can. I'm going to be coming to White Mountain Apache Nation, and I want you to look that up, and if you are interested in coming and being with us, please join us there. And then we have Pam's Cruise. It's booked up. We have many wonderful friends going with us, Pam's birthday cruise. And then I'll be coming at the end of September on the 26th and 27th to Blue Ridge, Georgia at the McKaysville Church of God. If you're from the mountains there and you've never heard me preach, this will be the first time we will be in Blue Ridge, Georgia. We would love to have you join us. And of course, don't forget at the main event that I preach Saturday morning, and then from 12 to about 5 to 5:30, we have the Pam's Fall Festival, Pam's Fried Pies. We have gospel singing, Brian Free and Assurance. We have tents with vendors. We have a kids' playground. And at the end, of course, we give away gifts throughout the whole meeting. And I'm talking about under the tent. But I will be giving away five amazing, stunning gifts worth thousands of dollars to those who attend at the end. And we're going to have those tickets in your hand, and you may win one of those. God bless you. I want you to join me and our entire family for a one-time historic event. On Tuesday night, October 6th through Saturday, October the 10th, Pam and I will host our 50th anniversary of ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee. This is our homecoming event. I have five new messages, including a major prophetic update. Special morning speakers are going to be John Brevere, Mario Morello, and Dr. Tim Hill. Lyndall Cooley will be leading us in worship. But listen to this. You're going to enjoy some of the best gospel music on the planet. Southbound is coming. Lee University Campus Choir, Old Tradition from Kentucky, Brian Free and Assurance, and many others. And don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon. It's fun. It's fellowship. It's food. It's fantastic. Now, the event is free to attend. However, you must register at perrystone.org. Do it today.